Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey through the Bible broadcast. My name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be your host, or your co-host, actually. I am a Messianic pastor, for those of you that know me, also known as a Messianic rabbi. And our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed to answer many perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our husband, for those of you that are spiritually married to Yeshua or to Jesus Christ. Now, at this time, I have the awesome honor and privilege to introduce to you the other half of our co-host, and that's Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, and thank you, Rabbi John. Of course, it is great to be a part of the blessing of hosting, co-hosting the show with you to share the truth of the Word of God, Yah. This is our 69th show, and we will continue to answer the question, what does it mean that the love of many has grown cold? And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John. Thank you for the introduction.
You're welcome. And I'll go ahead and start us off with prayer. And Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity during Sukkot to be able to allow you to begin to enlighten, to just build a more intimate, a more sensitive relationship with us and with you. We thank you, and I ask forgiveness for sin, for iniquity, and for transgression that I have done. And Father, I take it upon your anointing that you've given to me, your ability that you strengthen me with, your joy and your peace to forgive those who have sinned against me and against my family, who have caused iniquity and transgression against us. Father, we do not hold it to their charge right now in the name of Yahushua. In the name of Yeshua, we thank you, Father. We ask that your Ruach, your Holy Spirit, come. We say bo, we say come. And begin to teach us, begin to guide us, begin to strengthen us, to begin to encourage us, begin to deliver us through this message, and to enlighten and build the love relationship between us and our spiritual husband, Yahushua. We ask and pray this very thing, that the words that are spoken be your words, that the truths that are revealed be your truths, and that the enlightenment that you desire guide and lead our path so that we walk upright and we walk straight and through the narrow passage. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to pass it back to Evangelist Tanita and just allow her to begin to just recap what we've talked about before we go any further into this particular question. So if you haven't got an opportunity to take notes, the last time that we began to share this, this is a very, very strategic time for you to get your pen and paper or something that you can write on so that you can begin to take copious notes and get enlightened by the Holy Spirit as he begins to allow you to just receive what the Father is wanting to share with all of us in this particular broadcast. Okay, Evangelist Nia, could you give us a recap?
Yes, thank you, Rabbi Dunn. And so, again, the question is, what does it mean that the love of many has grown, will grow cold? And this was based on Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And so we did a contextual analysis, Rabbi did a contextual analysis on Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. We read the Amplified as well as the New King James Version. And starting at verse 10, verse 10 deals with the end time, which is the past. And it, of course, this is about those who should be ready or willing to obey and trust Yah. He also went back up to verses 3 and 4, where the disciples had a question for Jesus, Yahushua. The first question was, when will the temple be seized? The second question is, when is your second coming? And then the third question is, what is the sign of the end? And so this is so that you'll understand how we got down to verse 12. And so Rabbi has also spoken on the ancient Jewish wedding, but just a side note that he also talks or teaches in more detail through Zuhl College for those that may be interested. But the ancient Jewish wedding is based or deals with the bride. And even though the bride doesn't know the day nor the hour, the bride always is in anticipation of his coming. And so we went to Acts 1, verses 4 through 7 and 8. And this is dealing with the church age. The church age ends after retribution. And he also pointed out to us that there were only two people who understood the end of the church. The first one was Paul, and the second one was Apostle John. We began to read in Revelation chapter 7, 9 through 15. And this is dealing with, of course, the tribulation. But we started running out of time, and so Rabbi John wanted us to know that we would be reading Revelation 6 and 7. And in this particular section, it deals with the rapture. He also made a note for us to make sure that we keep ourselves free from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And that is also a scripture reference to 1 John 2:15. And so I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right. And so we're going to go to that scripture reference now. The part that Evangelist Tanita quoted was in verse 16 of chapter 2 of 1 John. But we're going to go to 15 just so that you can get an opportunity to understand why the church has to understand the Hebraic perspective of love and why the church has to make sure that they are so just immersed in this definition so that the bride, which is that part of the church that will be raptured, that part of the church that will go into a wedding matrimony with Yeshua, will be qualified to do so. So we all want to make sure that we're qualified. We want to make sure that we don't disqualify ourselves. And this part of this particular teaching is really going to begin to dive into the Hebraic understanding of the word love and what the early New Testament believers understood about that word love and how they protected and guarded that love and caused themselves not to have that love diminished, tarnished, and just totally lost. So we're going to go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 first, and then what she quoted at the very end of that synopsis, which is verse 16, we'll go into that as well, but verse 15.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi. Again, First John chapter 2, starting at verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Amen. Now, understand this, that it is very important to understand that if we are to emulate Yeshua, emulate or follow the aspects of Jesus, one of the things that we have to understand and one of the arsenals, one of the armaments that we are given by the Father is fasting. Fasting helps, regimental fasting helps to, and I'm not just talking about I'm thinking of some of the health gurus nowadays are going into a type of fasting that is 16 to 18 hours before you eat your next meal. But that type of fasting, although it has its tremendous merits, I'm talking about a week of fasting at least twice a week. That type of fasting will begin to cause you and I to remain sharp and sensitive to the things of the Spirit of God, as well as sensitive to the bombardment of the demonic activity. A good example is what Yeshua did in Matthew, and we're going to go to Matthew just so that we can see that. We want to make sure that we understand not only what the arsenal is, what the tools of sharpening our love is, but how to operate in it, how to live it so well that it becomes a lifestyle, because that's what we're wanting. We're wanting a lifestyle. That lifestyle will feed our faith, which increases our love, because faith worketh by love. So we need those tools that will continually build that particular faith. That's in Matthew chapter 4. And she's going to read verses 1 through 11. And when she reads 1 through 11, what you're going to see is you're going to see the emulation of these three action points. These three action points being the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You're going to see where Yeshua maximized his love, which also maximized his faith, by sharpening his sensitivity and obedience to the Father through fasting. Now, in this particular passage, this is right after chapter 3. This is right after his mikvah, right after his water baptism. And with that water baptism, we know that the Holy Spirit came upon him and drove him into the wilderness to fast for 40 days. Now, that fast was designed to begin to drain and to dissipate all of those three elements that would destroy the love, the intimacy, the purity of his relationship with his Father. Okay, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1.
Okay. All right. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him.
Amen. So these three acts of temptation and enticement all could be placed or subcategorized in those three action points that is talked about in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Okay, where the lust of the flesh would be the bread when he was in hungered. The lust of the eye would be his desire to live. Okay, the pride of life would be the pride of life would be his desire to live, and the lust of the eye would be at the very end when the adversary was showing him all of these kingdoms that he could have and all of this power that he could obtain if he bowed down and worshiped. He showed him, although he lifted him up in the spirit realm, it was a natural transformation, if you will. And he began to show him all of the kingdoms, not just the kingdom in Israel, but all of the kingdoms of the world, as it says, to try to appeal to his lust. All of those were to try to get him to taint himself so that the love that is talked about in verse 15 of chapter 2 of 1 John would not manifest properly. It's imperative, it's important that we see that one of the armaments that we have that we don't want to lose. Because in Matthew 24, verse 12, and if you can go back there, that's our foundational scripture, but if you can go back there, we can begin to look at how important it is to shear up our armor. And a part of that armor that we do have, a large part of it, is fasting. And that this fasting helped us to be able to have the strength to endure, the strength to come against and to keep ourselves from being submitted to the enticements of the enemy. And that's Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 again.
Okay. All right.
That's a foundational scripture. Go ahead.
And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now, that's the New King James Version. Do you want me to read that after 5?
Yeah, if you could.
Okay. And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity.
Okay, the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. Fasting helps us. If you go to Isaiah 58 and just start to read like from verse 7 or 8 to about 14 or 15, the Isaiah 58 is known as the fasting instructional script passage that helps us to understand what is and what isn't. Like verses 1 through about 6 to 7, tell us of what is not appropriate, what's not effective when we fast. Whereas when you start going to 8 and beyond, it begins to give you instructions of what the Father, what our Heavenly Father considers as an effective fast that will produce tremendous fruit for us. So if you could go ahead and jump in there and read that for us, please. And that's Isaiah 58.
Yeah.
Okay, and started about, I'd say around 7 or 8.
Okay, I'll start at 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry?
Oh, go ahead and do verse 6. Please, I'm sorry, go ahead and do verse 6, because that kind of starts that whole passage, that whole thought.
Yes. Again, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of the wicked, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover them, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning, Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall bind the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath and from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to hide on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So even though we've been talking about fasting, in this particular passage, it also brings up the next armament that we have. And it's imperative there for us to understand that this next armament being the Sabbath, being submitting yourselves to the Sabbath, which means you have to know when the Sabbath is so that you can fulfill this passage. But when you begin to find what is the Sabbath and then begin to honor him, and not do your own pleasure, not do the things that you would desire to do and that you want to do, but find those things that are desirous of the Lord and do those things, then all of that which was talked about in the latter part of this chapter as far as receiving the inheritance of Jacob and being placed on the heights of the mountains, meaning being placed above only and not below in receiving the blessings of Yah and being honored and respected, then this will happen. This also is a part of that strengthening the love. It's that love concept that we were talking about. That love concept here is all-encompassing to and with the commands of God. Now, we've gone to this particular passage before in many other teachings, but it goes to show the fact that we have to do it again. It goes to show you how rudimentally important this particular passage is to our spiritual walk and our spiritual welfare and understanding of how to interact with our Heavenly Father. And that's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Because it also refers to the love. As a matter of fact, it gives a even more detailed definition, New Testament definition, of what the love of God is. What God is saying is the love of God. If we are not doing this, then we are hypocrites every time we say we love God. We're hypocrites every time we say that we have a pure and right relationship with him. We are liars, and the truth is not in us. Okay? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3.
For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Is it okay if I read
it? Yeah, sure.
Okay. For the true love of God is this, that we do his commands, keep his ordinance, and are mindful of his precepts and teachings. And these orders are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, or grievous. And that's it, right?
Okay. And so you see there that he's describing Torah. So if we strive to walk in Torah, then we strive to walk in love. Now, this is New Testament, but it's still referring back to the Old Testament. So it's imperative that we begin to see, we begin to understand how important it is to walk in his precepts in order to fulfill the love that is talked about there. Now, there's a couple of other scriptures I want to bring up because they all correlate with the love of God. And then we're going to, probably next broadcast, begin to look at the contrast of what happens to those individuals or what happens to us when the love for God and the love of God begins to wax cold within us. Now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not be, and most of you know this by heart, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it uses the word then. So it means first you've got to do this, and once you do this, this that I'm getting ready to share with you will happen. You will be able to discern what is the good, pleasing, perfect will of God. In other words, as I begin to walk in love on a regular basis, then it automatically begins to transcend or causes my mind to transcend or to separate from the worldly lusts, you know, those action points, the lust of the flesh, which is of this world, the lust of the eye, which is of this world, and the pride of life, and that life is to live in this world. So if any of the attitudes of them or the thoughts that come to me begin to fulfill those three negative action points, then I know that it's going to automatically be contrary to the love of God, which means it's going to be contrary to the Torah of God. And if it's contrary to the Torah of God, then I am sinking. I'm going in the opposite direction of an intimate relationship with God. I have become, and my thought pattern has become enmity with God. If Evangelist Sunita can get Romans chapter 8, and I believe it's Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. But when you look at that and when you read that, one of the things you begin to realize is, if I have enmity with God, then you can guarantee, you can guarantee that I'm not walking in the love of God. And if I'm not walking in the love of God, then there is no way that I am fulfilling the Torah of God. Okay? Romans chapter 8, and let's see verse 8 and 9. Go ahead.
Okay. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he is not his.
If you could read verse 7, because I think verse 7 is what I'm looking for. But that was good.
Okay, thank you. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be.
Okay, now when it says the law of God, we're talking about the Torah. So, and if I'm not walking in the Torah of God, then I'm not walking in the love of God. If I'm not walking in the love of God, then my faith is weak. If my faith is weak, then I am separating myself from him and disqualifying myself for the intimacy and being qualified as a bride and the rapture. We're going to talk more on this next broadcast. Right now is a good time for Evangelist Tanita to give you a little bit more information about us, and we will take this topic up next week. Go ahead, Evangelist Tanita.
Amen. Okay. Thank you, Rabbi Jonathan. Another great show. The show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have questions that you would like to ask, if you would please email us at office@bethlehem.org. That is O-F-F-I-C-E at B-E-T-H-H-A-S-H-E-M.org. The ministry is called Bethlehem Ministries, and we have two websites that you can research. The first one is www.bethlehem.org, and the second one is our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Bethlehem Ministries. Also, if you would like to attend the services, if you would email us at office@bethlehem.org for directions, we will be glad to give you those directions. For those that may be interested in a further in-depth study, we have Dual College. If you could also email us at office@bethlehem.org for any information on classes, we would be glad to provide you with that information. And last but not least, we also, for those who are looking to partner with us, we have our TV show that is also comes on Wednesdays, Thursdays, as well as Sundays. And if you feel the Lord is leading you to participate in this, if you would just go through our website and you can donate and also find out more information. But also you could email us at our office email at bethlehem.com. Thank you, and I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
Well, Father, we thank you for another show that you've desired to use us and to allow your word to go forth. And, Father, we just pray that each and every aspect of that word that is in you and of you and by you will just totally revitalize and strengthen and build each and every person that allows it to be applied to their life. Father, we thank you that you are calling us to love you, to be approved of you, to walk in your glory, to walk in your anointing, and to be intimate, to be brides, not friends, not servants, definitely not heathens, but to be the bride that you're looking for, the Hebraic bride, so that we can fulfill the ancient Jewish wedding and all of the requirements thereof. Father, we ask that you continue to increase our love.
Yeah.
So that we decrease the enemy's hold on our life and on the blessings that you have bestowed in and of and through us. In Yahushua's name. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.